2.4, you look at the three, craving. Craving, like I explained earlier on, there are three according to Theravada tradition teaching. Kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, means craving for the senses, sensual craving. All our senses can develop craving, desire, like and dislike, negative and positive craving. Then craving to be, bhava tanha, and craving not to be is also a craving. So take for example our daily life. When we are young, we got ambition in there. So we crave to be successful. We crave to be wealthy. We crave to be famous. Then as you come out into the job environment, your career, you also have craving to go up the corporate ladder. Initially, maybe you are contented with minor promotion, like the Maslow need theory, food and shelter most important. After you have this, your craving grow. Then you develop more craving. Means food and shelter, basic need you have already. So you crave to own a beautiful house, beautiful car, marry a beautiful wife or husband, then have beautiful family. So this craving continue. Then after that, not enough, is it? You want self-esteem, you want praise, you want to be identified as famous, successful, or very powerful entity. So that's why you aim to become the CEO. And there are some who play games. They aim to be world champion. So initially, state level champion, national champion, not enough. They want to be world champion. But the whole world can only have one champion at any one time for any game. So all these are craving to achieve, to reach, and all this. So this craving to be, especially when you crave to become very senior in your company, like assistant managing director or CEO or managing director, do you know that these are very hot seat? The one that stay up there cannot last long, very fast, because of whatever, politics or what, people will try to replace you. So when you are not there, you believe when you get there, you will be very happy, very famous, self-esteem, everything. You will be very wealthy too, they pay you very well. But that comes with what? Stress, understand? And all the various pressure that they expect of you, just whatever they pay you, they expect you to deliver, otherwise you have to go. So after a while up there, when the pressure and the stress is very high, you crave not to be, understand? Why you say, this is terrible, this is stressful, I think I better don't stay on. But a lot of people cannot understand. They stay on, they fight until the end. Finally, miserable. So craving to be and not to be is both detrimental and lead to suffering. Why must you crave? If it's your passion, you work towards it, understand? Of course, if you are destined to be the world champion or the CEO, you work your way up. You reach the pinnacle of your career or whatever that you excel in, and then you will be happy. You don't have to go the crooked way to cheat and to deceive and to fight for all this. That's why our existential our this universe, or take for example maybe our planet, in our society, you can crave for whatever you want, but these are not reality. End of the day, everything go back to what they call the existing reality. You heard of this Mandarin saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Na ma si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu le. The English translation is, when we are born into this world, we came empty-handed. True or not? Eh? True or not? Then when you die, you go, also empty-handed, isn't it? Then why do you, in between, grieve over emptiness? Do you see the point or not? You fight, you struggle, you actually do a lot of funny things that is against the nature's law of karma. Then you get yourself entangled with all the karmic negativity. Then finally, you cannot bring along anything. That's why empty nature or existence, that is the meaning of emptiness. You come empty, you go empty. In between, why do you grieve over emptiness? The sorrow, the lamentation, the stress. That's why you don't understand life, you become deluded. Through ignorance, you toy and you do all this. We call funny thing, leading to more and more stupidity. Yeah. So when you understand, you wake up, then you know within the existential world, there are laws that governs life and existence. So you make sure you understand this law, then you will not get yourself into trouble. Because when you understand this law, you do your duty and so on. That's why the enlightened beings, the four noble qualities of the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, one of them is of right duty, is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. And that one is in the salutation to the Sangha. That's why Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, then Ujjupatipanno, then followed by Jnanapatipanno, then finally is Samichi Patipanno, of right duty, is the disciple of the order of the disciple of the Blessed One or the Buddha. So first one is of good conduct, upright conduct, then of wise conduct. Then the last one is of dutiful conduct. You do your duty. So our condition, when you understand the Dhamma, you will do your duty. You will not simply do things. That's why the law of karma is very powerful. So you look at the fifth daily contemplation just now we went through. The Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing this, what must you do? Yeah? Every one of us, no exception. No. You have to take care of karma. He said, your karma forms such major aspect of your life. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant, because of your karmic nature's conditioning. So when you understand this, if you want to have the good life, you must take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? Eh? Follow the advice of Lord Buddha, isn't it? Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan secitta pariyottapanang etang buddha sasana. So what is sabbe? All. Papasa akaranang. All evil you have to avoid. Avoiding evil is to keep your precept. If you keep the minimum five precepts, you avoid major evil. And that is what taking care of karma is all about. When you avoid all evil, you take care of your karma. It will prevent you from having this friction of the negative karma. That's why avoiding all evil, we are keeping the precept, is a meritorious virtue and action. So you can do that. It protects you. So the Buddha, out of love and compassion for you, advises you to avoid all evil via keeping your minimum five precepts. Because you check the five precepts. Who are the ones that violate the five precepts or break the precept? Take for example the first precept, Panatipata Viramani Sikapada Samadhiyami. I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill and who will cause harm to fellow living beings? Eh? Selfish people, isn't it? Deluded people, isn't it? Angry and violent people, isn't it? The three evil roots are all there. If the roots of all evil are there, means this constitute major evil. Those who break this precept has evil coming. Action, speech and thought process. That's why from this, the teaching comes about. That's why you have to take refuge to develop affinity with Triple Gem and Great Beings. Then you have to renew your five precepts. All this comes from the advice of the Buddha when you understand. And because the Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, he know we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, condition, support, and we are what we are because of karma. So the first one is to avoid all evil. So the first right effort to abandon whatever wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is a purification process. Is how you cultivate. Then after that, kusalesa, wholesomeness. Whatever wholesomeness, when there is condition to arise or manifest, you must do. Kusalesa upasampadan. So that you need the third and fourth right effort to cultivate whatever virtue, wholesomeness, and goodness of action, speech, and thought that you still have not developed. So right effort to constantly cultivate it. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon it and perfect it until you develop the ultimate perfection of them all. And this is how you cultivate. Then the last one, the Buddha said, having good karma, able to avoid all evil, do good is not enough. Because this one doesn't guarantee you the good life. When you confront the first noble truth reality, you can still suffer despite your wealth. Understand that? Because you do not have the wisdom. That's why the third advice is what? Sacitta. Citta is mind. Pariyutapnang. You have to purify that mind. Then the final advice is, these are all the advice of the Buddha. Eta Buddhana Sasana. So understanding all this will lead to the understanding of how the teaching come about and how you should cultivate. That's why this understanding is seldom taught. They seldom link the teaching and Dhamma to explain to you how all this come about. So knowing all this, we will be able to develop the meditative wisdom. How to purify your mind through cultivation. Developing mindfulness to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the truth, to develop the direct seeing, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. And through all this, you can become different. Enlightenment in the here and the now become possible. Then you understand life. Then you can live life. So all this is what the teaching and the cultivation is capable of. So develop the faith, cultivate sincerely, develop heedfulness. First, by cultivating mindfulness, stabilize it, and use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So all these are connected. Okay?